There be light. So cool. Voice controlled lights. Let there be sound. Can you guys hear me? Hello? Is this thing on? Well, we're working that out. Well, good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Well, those of you who are guests, as Kyle said, don't worry. We don't normally meet in a cave, but we thought this was too cool and way too much fun. We had an obscene amount of fun last week with all the kiddos running around with water balloons and all sorts of other stuff. We also realized that with this amazing set here, many of you can't see the screens. So that's why I see you guys here. Hopefully it's not something I said. That's not why you're sitting so far away from me. But with that in mind, we're actually going to show a recap video next week when you can all see the screen. So don't worry, we're going to play that next week. We'd love for you to see all that God did. It's been a fun, amazing time. Like as Pastor Kyle said, they're continuing this morning, kind of finishing off everything this week. But, you know, as I stood in this room, and it was really dark all week in all of our different caves, if you haven't had a chance, before they tear down our classrooms, I want to encourage you, go check the classrooms out too, because they just look awesome. Our volunteers made them look really cool. They are completely blacked out with the lights out. So there's several times throughout this week where we've shut the lights out, and we've had these little tiny lights and other little flashlights to remind us that God can meet us, that God can bring light to the darkest of situations. And as we talked with our kids about this, and as we shared with them this truth from the Bible, I was just encouraged that this is not just a word for our kids, this is a word for us. And so I wanted to share a little bit of it with you. Is that okay? Because, you know, I had my plan of what I was going to share with you this week, and I feel like God said, no. There's a cave here. We should talk about those places. Because we all have seasons of life where we feel like the lights are out, don't we? Seasons where there are dark times. The Bible, the psalmist describes one of those times as, I feel like I'm walking through the shadow of death. And there are seasons where we walk through difficult seasons. Moments where the lights go out and we don't know what happened and we don't know where the light switch is, right? You ever wander through a dark room, you're like, where's the light? All week, I've been breaking out my awesome flashlight on my cell phone. You guys ever do that? I was like walking into a darkened room and realizing that I don't quite know where I'm going. See, there's a many different things that cause us to feel like the lights have gone out. Could be the unexpected loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of a job or some sort of other change that we didn't plan on or we didn't drive. You know what I'm talking about? We all love change when we're in the driver's seat. But what happens in life is that changes happen to us in a way that we don't like. And those are the moments where our worlds get rocked. Sorry for the pun, but I couldn't resist. They get rocked. With a show of hands, how many of you have ever had a moment or a season in your life where that's happened, where the lights have gotten shut out and you feel like, man, something just happened that I don't know what happened? Yeah, all of us. All of us have had those kind of moments. And there's a God who's a good God who wants to meet us in those dark places. When the lights go out and we find that there's no other source of light, he wants to meet us there in the darkness and show us that he is still there. So this morning, I'm going to share with you just a couple of things. If you're taking notes, you can fill out the blanks. As we've shared over the last couple of weeks, you can also follow along in the YouVersion app. All of the notes are in there for you to follow along. But the big idea that I want to share with you today is this, that even when it feels dark, God is with us. Even when it feels dark, he's with us. See, there are moments. For sometimes it's hours, and for other times it's seasons of our life that feel dark, where we feel like there's a cloud over us, where there's hardship that's going on in our life. There are seasons like that where we're perplexed about what's happening. I don't know about you, but it seems that you can't even turn on the news anymore without finding this sort of example where you feel like, what is going on? What's happening in our world? See, we see the darkness coming in, and every time I turn on the news, I think to myself, what has happened to our world? When did our world catch fire with evil and hatred and anger and rage? And I don't know about you, but I wonder those things. And as a Christian, I know and believe that the evil that's in our earth has existed since the very first sin, since our first mother and father fell away from God. And as a result, we've seen sin having its effect in our world for as long as man has walked the earth. But as a Christian, I also have a hope that the best is yet to come. That there is a God who will restore and redeem our broken and fallen world and make all things new. And that is a hope that I have as a follower of Jesus, that God will one day transform the broken and sinful into things that are not broken, that are whole and godly. See, that's our role and our mission as God's people, is to love God and to make his love known in a darkened world. See, God doesn't take good people and make them great. He takes wrecked people, wretched people, people that are broken like me, and he uses them to bring light to the darkness. And that's the one thing that I always find amazing. See, Jesus makes us this promise that though the darkness will be around us as God's people, it will not win. Matthew 16 and 18 says this. Says Jesus talking to his disciples and says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, Jesus is reminding Peter, he's reminding us, that the things of hell will come against our lives. The things of hell will rage against us. But with Jesus Christ, they will not win. They will not be victorious over us. See, even when it feels dark, God is with us. And when you can't see the way, allow God to open your eyes. There's something that I was reminded of this week as we sat in this darkened room. I was reminded of the 119th Psalm. I want to encourage you to read the whole thing. It's only a chapter. It's like the longest chapter in the universe, but it's awesome. But I want to encourage you to read the whole Psalm 119, but I want to read to you verse 15 through 18. It says, I will meditate on your precepts, God, and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word, and open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. See, we've got to allow God to change the way we think about current events, about circumstances, about everything in our lives. And that begins by opening up God's word and meditating on it, by saying, God, would you change me by your word? Would you change the way I view my world as I come to your word? See, I wrote these simple words. Every one of my Bibles, I've actually written this particular passage in pen in the front cover of my Bible. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And see, as a follower of Jesus, there's times where I just need to come to God's word and I need to read that and remind myself, God, I don't want to just read this book, but God, I want to behold the wondrous things that you have for me, the wondrous things that you want to speak to my life, the things of correction even, the things of redirecting my life. Whatever it is, God, I want to come and hear your voice and see what you're doing. See, practically, we've got to ask God to open our eyes whenever we come to start our devotional time or come to the word or come to worship or come to any place where we're going to hear from God. We've got to ask God to speak to us because God wants to give us his eyes to see. You know, I'm amazed. One of the things we learned about, we taught all of our kids about this week is, you know, there's different cave creatures. There's like bats, which I have conveniently located over my left shoulder. And one of the cool things about bats is they can see in the darkness. They can see when other creatures can't, and they use echolocation to find their way around. But God has given us a way to navigate our darkened world, a way to find our way through when others might not know where they're going. And he's given us his word to do that, but in order for his word to speak to us, we've got to say, God, would you speak to me? Would you open my eyes to see what you have? What would begin to happen if instead of, as God's people, decrying the darkness, we saw it as an opportunity for light? When we see the things of hell and the brokenness of our world come to the surface and get national news coverage, what if instead of decrying the darkness, we said, God, what would you do with my light? God, how could you use the little bit of light that I've got to change my world? See, God wants to give us eyes to see our world. He's given us physical eyes, of course, and many of us can see with some moderate level of skill. Some of us, we lost some of our eye-seeing skills, right? We got glasses and we can't see. But God wants to give us eyes to see what he's up to in our world. He wants us to see not just the things that are happening, but the ways that he's moving and the opportunities that he's opening. So when we can't see the way, we've got to allow God to open our eyes. Psalm 119:105 says, God, your word is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my path. See, there's times in our lives when our path is darkened. We don't know exactly where to go. We don't know what our next step might be. But God says, I have given you a lamp. I've given you a light to shine the way, to illuminate the way that you should go with your life. And God's word is a lamp for our feet. He wants to show you the way that you should go with your life so that we can avoid the potholes and the difficulties. You know, this past fall with our Trail Life ministry that's part of New Heart, I took Ezra camping, and we had a camping trip. Some dads and sons were camping, and it was a good time. But I learned a valuable lesson. Now, I've always grown up in the outdoors, so being in the darkness, walking around in the woods in the dark, it's like second nature to me. I've kind of learned to, you know, adjust my eyes so that I can kind of see where I'm going. It's not very safe, but I can kind of get my way through it. But my son hasn't quite learned how to do that. And in fact, it was a really cold night. We had just finished our campfire time, and we were getting ready to hit the rack, and we wanted to go to the bathroom first. And my son, I'd given him a flashlight, which of course he had promptly lost because he's a boy. And he lost it. It was somewhere in the campgrounds. So we're walking in pitch black from the campfire, which was really bright, to the bathrooms. And because it was so cold, he didn't have his arms in his sleeves. He had his arms inside his sweatshirt and in his pockets. So imagine, he's kind of like got a straitjacket on, and he's walking around in the darkness in an unknown place. What could possibly go wrong, right? I didn't notice that he had done that because it was so dark. So we're walking, and you can imagine what happened. His toe met the curb, and his forehead met the sidewalk. I mean, it was a bad thing. But I learned something. I was reminded of something that I already knew, that when you're walking in the darkness, you got to be prepared, right? You got to have your hands out, be ready. And if you're going to walk in dark places, you should probably bring a flashlight. Really good advice. All the moms in the room are like, yeah, duh. See, we walk around every single day in a darkened world. And God wants us to bring a lamp for our feet. He wants us to not just walk as my son did with our hands in our pockets and our eyes closed because it's just the same because we can't see because there's no flashlight. He doesn't want us to walk around foolishly waiting to find the curbs with our foreheads. He wants us to walk around with light that we might see where we're going. So we've got to allow God to do just that. We've got to allow God to open our eyes. See, even when it feels dark, God is with us. And when we don't know where to go, we must allow God to help guide our way. Psalm 119, again, this is like 133 verses later, in the New Living Translation says, guide my steps, God, by your word, so that I will not be overcome by evil. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been lost? Show of hands. There's no shame. There's no judgment here. See, right? Some of you are just lying. You've been lost. But some of you I know, you get lost driving out of the parking lot today. Others of you I know, I've met some of you, like, you're never lost because you never knew where you were going in the first place, right? You're just kind of wandering aimlessly. You know, you're like, my dad used to always say, we're lost, but we're making great time. I think we're going in the right direction. I don't know. See, but there are times in life where we're all lost. I felt lost in seasons of my life, where there's changes, where God is changing something, or there's something happening to the circumstances where I don't quite know what the next step is going to be. I don't know exactly what's happening. And it's in those moments that I need to be reminded that, A, God is with me. And there's times where I've also, in those moments where I feel dry, where I feel like the lights have gone out, I don't quite know where I'm going, where I need a lifeline. You know what I'm talking about? There are moments where, like, man, I'm empty. The tank is empty. And those are the moments where I've got to reflect back on God's work in my life. I've got to be reminded and encouraged from my own self. I've got to have a well, a resource that I can turn to. And let me just tell you this. I don't mean this euphemistically. I mean this really. The spiritual discipline of journaling has saved my life. It's saved my faith. It's saved my relationships. Because there's moments in my life, moments where, man, my tank runs dry. Moments where the lights are out, I don't know where to go, and I've got to pull to a resource. I've got to be reminded of what God has already spoken to me. Now, I was going to bring, I've got a whole stack of moleskin journals that I've used over the years. Now, this is my journal. I write down things in Evernote, but there's times where I've had to tap into the source to be reminded of the things that God has already spoken to me. Because there's moments where all of us, we feel like, man, I turned the radio on, but I'm not getting any reception today. And I've got to be reminded that there's a God who loves me, that there's a God who's spoken to me. And that is when I will turn to my journals and be reminded of those things. See, many years ago, I took up Wayne Cordero's discipline of soap. How many of you guys have heard of the acrostic soap? Cool. I'll share it with you if you haven't. But it's a simple method of journaling that I found to be invaluable. There's a million different ways to study the Bible and to journal, but this is one that's really worked well for me. And the big idea is this, that we want to come to God's Word and not just say that was cool and walk away, but say, God, how can I take this along the path? How can I take this as a lamp for my feet, as a light for my path? How can I be changed as a result of hearing your word? And so that's the big idea behind the soap. And it starts by reading our daily Bible reading plan. We talked a little bit about that last week. You got to do it. Sometimes it's hard, but there's apps for that. It'll read it for you. It'll remind you to do it. I mean, it's so easy. So we've got to get into God's word. But as we get into his word, very often, if we will come to his word and say, God, would you prepare me? Would you speak something to me? Let me just tell you. Every time I come to God's word, something pops out at me. Something's like, man, that's for me. Man, that's, I needed to hear that today. I needed to be reminded of that. Just this morning as I was in God's word, like something popped out and God was speaking to me. But as something pops out, we write it down. And the soap is an acrostic. I'll break down what it looks like. But it starts with S. We write out the scripture. What is it, the verse that popped off the page to me? I will write out that verse in my journal, or I will write it out in my Evernote app, or whatever journaling method you're going to use. And I will write it out. Maybe it's, I shared last week, maybe it's in your anger, do not sin, or it's something about forgiveness, or it's something about loving your neighbor as yourself. Whatever it is that God speaks to you, write out that scripture. The second, the O in our soap is observation. You say, God, what is this telling me? What is this scripture teaching me about who you are and what you're like? This is where I get to be more general. I get to, for those of you who are really deep thinkers, where you get to put on your theology hat and say, what does this mean? What is this scripture talking about? And then the A, and this is where it gets really good, is where we write our application. And this is where we take it from intellectual knowledge to saying, God, what is it that I feel like you're saying? Why did this stand out to me? What do I need to do? And when I write out my application, I don't say, man, George could really use this. I don't say, like, my son could really hear this. And no, it's about my life. About saying, man, I really need to forgive so-and-so. Be as specific as you can. You know, if God's speaking to you about forgiveness, don't just say, I need to forgive that unspoken brother. No, write it out. God, I feel like I need to forgive my neighbor. God, I feel like I need to forgive my brother or my sister or my coworker. God, I need to forgive this person. Whatever it is that God's speaking to you about, write it out in practical terms so that you can look back a week from now and say, did I do it? Did I actually do what I felt like God was telling me to do? Write it out. And then finally, the P in soap is prayer. And this is, for some of us, a difficult discipline if you're not, don't have an active prayer life, real active, then this can be difficult. It's difficult to write out our prayer, but write it out. Ask God. God, would you help me to do what I just said I was going to do? I just said I was going to forgive, or I just said I was going to love my neighbor as you love me, or whatever it is. God, help me to do that thing that you've asked me to do. And as I've developed a habit of journaling over the years, I've found myself in seasons where I'm like, man, I feel like God is telling me to do something different. What has he been speaking to me about? And I'll go back in my journals. And I'll see, man, God has been preparing me for this thing. God has been setting me up. He's been laying the groundwork for months. I had no idea this was coming, but he did. He's had me get ready for this moment. And God will do those things. In those moments of spiritual darkness, I find my my journal to be a shining light to my soul. It's a lifeline to me. And there's moments where I need an extra dose of faith. Maybe I'm down about something. Maybe there's hardship. Maybe maybe a six-month-old kept me up all night crying because he was sick. Story of my life this last week. And I just need to be reminded that, man, God is good, that God is still working, that God is still alive. I need a fresh dose of faith. And no one preaches better to my soul than me. And no one does that in your life better than you. And when you can read the words that you've written, be like, there's times where I'll go to my journal and I'll read it. I'll be like, who wrote this? This guy is awesome. And I'm like, I don't feel that awesome anymore. God, would you give me his faith? And I've got to do that. I've got to encourage myself in those moments. See, because we all have moments where we don't know where we're going, and being lost can be infuriating, can it? Now, my children are going to have no idea what this thing is all about. But see, I'll never forget growing up. I mean, when we would go on a road trip, we'd have just the glove box stuffed full of maps. And we'd be opening these maps and stopping by the side of the road. Okay, we got to go from here. And we were trying to figure out, see, when I got my license, I had MapQuest, so I could print out my directions. I was going to somewhere strange. And I'd print it out and be really good until I missed a turn. And then I'd be like, wait, I don't see that street. I've been driving for like 10 miles and turn around and try and find our way. And now we've got GPS and apps, right? Like yesterday, I went somewhere I've never been before. I didn't look up directions, but until I like got in the car, in the driver's seat, I had to get directions. See, we are so just trained by this technology, and it works really great until our batteries run out. And then we're like, I don't even know my phone number anymore, right? I don't know my wife's phone number. I don't know anyone's phone number. See, but there are moments where we need to allow God to direct us. Because there's moments in time where we can get directions, but that only works if we know where we're going. When life throws us a curveball and we don't know where our next step is to be, we need a God to direct us. And even when it's dark, God is with us. So before we venture into those dark places, we've got to allow God to equip us. Psalm 119 again, starting in verse 9, says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, we've got to store something up for those dark seasons and those dark moments, those times when temptation or tribulation or hardship comes in our life. We've got to have something in the tank that we can pull from, that we can look to. Because so very often, people that come into my office with a hard situation, so much of it could have been prevented if they had just filled their tanks. If they had just equipped themselves so that when this moment comes, as it invariably does in all of our lives, they would be ready. That doesn't make it easier to go through, but it means that we've got a source to draw from in those hard times. So we've got to set ourselves and store up God's word in our hearts. Because there's times like we're in the thick of it. We feel like the darkness is coming all around us. We've got to remind ourselves that even when it's dark, God's with us. So we've all experienced seasons where we feel like things are happening to us out of our control. But what about the rest of the time? Because we're not always walking through dark, shadowy valleys, am I right? So what do we do the rest of the time? I want to spend the rest of our time talking about that idea. Is that when my world is the darkest, God wants to use my light to make the biggest difference, to shine the brightest. See, because we all go through seasons. Some seasons are easy, some seasons not so much. But this is what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You may have heard the axiom, be kind for everyone you meet is fighting a fight that you know nothing about. And it's true. All around us, people are experiencing things and people are going through difficult battles. Some of them are more obvious than others. But everyone around us, people we see, are struggling in some way. People that we work with, people that are members of our sports teams, our family members, our friends. And as a follower of Jesus, I have the light of Jesus inside of me. I have the light of the world inside of me. And as God has given me his Holy Spirit, it is my role in those seasons of darkness that surround our world to say, God, would you use the light that you've put in me to shine brightly? Just as those kids, I love it. Shine, shine, shine. It's not as cute when I do it, I know. But God has given us his light. Let me just say, when I first got saved, I got the biggest Bible I could buy because I thought that meant it was more holy. But I got the Bible and I went to my youth pastor and I said, well, what should I read? And he said, start with the New Testament. So the first day I opened up the book of Matthew and I started reading and I was just voracious. I read the first five chapters and I got to this passage. I'll never forget it because I bought a highlighter too because I heard that was cool. So I highlighted this scripture. But when I read these words, you are the light of the world, I thought, no way. No way, God. I'm the light of the world. And I, as I read these words, I didn't quite know that I believed him, but I said, God, I don't know what that looks like. I don't feel like I've got much to offer, but I believe you. I believe you. And as a 14-year-old boy, I wasn't quite sure how I could be the light of the world. But let me tell you a secret about God. Are you ready? If you will take God's word for what it is, if you'll say, God, what you say is true, I believe to be true, then he can do things well beyond your imagination. He can do things far beyond what you ever imagined that he could do. See, if we will take God's word for what it says, if we will choose to trust him, he can do miraculous things in our lives. And over and over again, the more I get into this word and I hear stories of what God has done through very imperfect people, I'm reminded that God is not so interested in how skilled we are. He's interested in how much we trust him. And the Bible is replete with stories of men and women who didn't have big lights. They didn't have big skills or big abilities. But instead they said, God, I'm available to you. Would you do something big and extraordinary in my life? Like the story of Joshua and Caleb who went into the promised land. And while all the rest of the people saw the obstacles, they saw giants, they saw people that were standing in their way, God had said, I promised you this land. All you've got to do is go in and trust me. And while everyone else was doubting and seeing the obstacles, these two men said, we trust God. We believe that God can do it. And so those two men eventually were able to go in. You see, with Abraham and Sarah, God made them a promise that they would become the father and mother of many nations, that their descendants would be more than the stars in the sky, and yet they were barren at a very, very old age. And yet, though Sarah laughed, they still believed. They trusted God. And the Bible says that Abraham trusted God and it was credited to him as righteousness, that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly more than they thought he could do. They just had to believe him. They just had to say, God, I trust you. And countless other men and women in the pages of Scripture, and countless other men and women in the days since Scripture has been finished, have trusted in God and seen his miracle-working power affect their lives. See, I was that boy when I got saved, and I said, God, I believe that you have said I am the light of the world. I don't know how that's going to work. I was the shyest kid in my class. At the time, as a freshman in high school, I actually had speech classes that I took F's on because I was afraid to get in front of my class. But I said, God, I trust that you are a good God. I trust that you have called me the light of the world. So, Lord, would you help me to use my light in whatever measure, in whatever capacity, wherever you send me, God, I will go and shine my light. Wherever that looks like. See, I said, God, I choose to believe the God of the miracle more than I choose to believe even the hardships of my situations. See, the Bible says that you, follower of Jesus, are the light of the world. See, we live in a dark time. There's no denying that the things of hell are pushing back in this world. And God is saying, if only my people would take their lights out of the darkness, take them out of the covering that they have put them in, and allow them to shine. If only God's people, not just as we gather, but as we scatter, as we go to our jobs, as we go to our work, as we go to our places of enjoyment and fun, if we would take our light and say, Lord, would you help me to bring my little tiny light and shine something of brightness in those places? See, people all around us every day and everywhere we are struggling. Some of us are feeling that darkness in our life right now, but others of us, man, we feel like life is going well. And it is in those seasons that God says, would you take the light that I've put in you, and would you go illuminate a dark corner of your world? See, if God's people would do just that, we would change Simi Valley, we would change Southern California, we would change our world. See, because when our world is darkest, God wants to use your light to shine the brightest. The question is, are you available? Are you willing to say, God, I will take that gift, whatever measure it is. I'm going to stop comparing my gift to the guy to my left or to my right or to anyone else. But God, I'm going to take that light and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? See, because God wants us to go into the darkest places. Because even in the darkness, God is there with us. And for some of us that aren't walking in darkness, our life is going pretty well. God's charge to us is to go, to share the good news of Jesus, to be a messenger of hope to a hopeless world. The question is, will you? See, when you can't see the way, will you turn to the God who can open your eyes, who can give you a light for your path? Will you dig in and say, God, I want to develop a discipline in my life that will feed me, that will nourish me, that will keep me going in the direction you want me to go? In those seasons where you don't know where you're going or what's next, are you willing to turn to the God who does? See, we can't see the future, but we have a God who does. Are you willing to do that? And will you choose to trust that even when it's dark, God is with you? See, some of us have gotten comfortable with being comfortable. We know that God's given us a light. We believe that scripture. We've read it. We've heard it. But just as Jesus said, no one who lights a lamp puts it under a bowl or under a basket, but instead he puts it on its stand, that it might give light to all who are in the room. For some of us, God is calling us to take our light out of the bowl and out of the basket and to put it up. And we don't use candles much anymore. But God's saying, would you flip on the light switch in every dark room you enter? Maybe that'd be a reminder for us as we walk into dark rooms, as we flip on the switch. God, would you help me to light up my world? Even if I don't have a light as bright as this, God, would you help me to bring whatever light I've got, whether it's a small little flicker light or it's a flashlight or it's a torch or it's something else. God, would you help me to light up my world? Would you bow with me as we close our time in prayer?